me go ahead and get in a place of expectation. Believe that you'll leave here with answers. God wants to give us answers. He wants to give us wisdom and understanding. Hallelujah. I don't know what you need. I don't know what people need all over this world, but I told the Lord, I said, Lord, as I was meditating on this, I said, go ahead and start it, Beth. The blessing is ours. I was meditating on it, and I told the Lord, I said, God, your word says that you will write your word in the tables of our heart. I said, God, I thank you, Lord, that you put your word in my heart concerning what you want me to minister. And I thank you, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will take that word and he will impart it, Lord, and it will bring forth what you send it out to do. So those that has ears to hear will hear what the Holy Spirit is speaking to them. And he will give them clear direction, because the direction for you in a lot of areas is not the same direction for your neighbor. Right? Because he personally, the Holy Spirit personally knows us, but the blessing is ours. Praise God. And put that scripture up, Proverbs 10, Beth, please. It says, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and addeth no sorrow, no toil, no hardship, no labor, no worry. Hallelujah. The blessing. The blessing is not a car. It's not a house. It's not a building. The blessing is the Lord has pronounced it on the body. And the blessing came on us through our trust, our faith, our confidence, through the Lord Jesus Christ to the covenant. The only thing that has changed, that Jesus changed, was our covenant. God has not changed. God's word has not changed. God's pronouncement in Genesis has not changed. Be fruitful, take dominion, multiply. God has not changed. None of that changed. The only thing that has changed is the covenant, how the covenant of God came to us. The Bible says that the law of Moses, the law was given to Moses, but mercy and truth came through Jesus. See, the curse entered into the earth. And you can read about the blessing and the cursing in Deuteronomy chapter 28. The first part of that chapter talks about if you will hearken to the voice of the Lord your God all and obey his commands, all these blessings will come on you and overtake you. And he goes to tell about your body, about your land, about your cattle, about your wallet, about your finances. He begins to tell you all that, and then it goes on and it talks about the curse. I don't like to get into the curse part because it's terrible. Terrible. See, before I found out, I'm just really learning about the law. I mean, I'm 30 years into living for the Lord, and I'm saying, well, you know, help me understand the law. Because, see, I didn't get born again under law. I didn't start tithing under law, and it's been working for me for 30-something years, and I'm not going back to bondage that they were under. Amen. Hallelujah. Our covenant is because our faith has been put in Jesus Christ, and the Bible says that the promises of God from Genesis all the way to Revelation is in Jesus. Yes, and amen. Amen? The blessing is an empowerment to succeed, an empowerment to prosper, an empowerment to increase. We're increasing in this church, have been for 30 years. Some come, some go. I don't lose no sleep over it. I just tell the Lord, Lord, I've not lost none that you've given me. Amen. Hallelujah. I believe he spoke that to Jesus. Jesus believed it, and 7 people left him all the time. See, some people that enters into your life is not for... My son wasn't for a lifetime to live in my house. My son, we was blessed to have him for 18 years. Praise God, and I praise God for it. But you know what? That was a blessing, and he's still a blessing to be in my life forever, but the blessing gave us him. Right? They couldn't bear children in the Old Testament, Sarah and a lot of them. And God caused them. I mean, he came through prophecy, through Sandy. The blessing was working. But it couldn't work. Teresa was crying out to God. Neither one of us saved, but God couldn't answer her directly. So he sent a believer. He sent somebody filled with the Holy Ghost that had faith in God and went, and the Lord told her to go. And then when he spoke that, she received that, and then before you know it, we had that. And I mean, it's evident. Look. Whoo, hallelujah. I'm glad that I found out we had TBN back yonder when we got saved, and we cut off all secular TV and we turned on, we had preaching going all the time in our house. You know, some thought we were spiritual fanatics, and I'm still that way today. I hear it, sermons all the time. I hear them all the time. I don't hear them to come preach to you. I hear them because I'm going to walk in faith personally. I'm going to have my houses and my lands and I'm going to have my healing. I'm going to have the promises of God. Teresa can't pray me into them, although she prays for me, and I know she does. She prays for this church, but she can't pray you into faith. You got to decide to get into faith, because we come and we minister the Word of God, but outside of here, I'm just like all of y'all. My gift is not necessarily working, praise the Lord, although he does speak to me sometimes days and weeks before and starts building things in me. But the promises of God had nothing to do with my gifting, whether I walked in them or not. I actually had it prophesied over me. All these good things were going to happen when I was 28 years old. They was prophesied into my life, and then the minister stopped and he said, all of these are conditional. He said, all of this that God has said to you is conditional whether you follow him or not, whether you walk in him or not and go after him or not. Hallelujah. And I left there and I thought, man, why didn't you just say God was going to bust me with it? Woo! But I can tell you right now, I wouldn't trade this faith journey that I've been on for no amount of money. I'm telling you, I'm excited when I'm in faith believing God. And when I'm not believing God, life is mundane to me. It's just mundane. It just gets like, oh, come, Lord Jesus. Come on, Lord Jesus. Boy, but when I'm in faith, hallelujah, I'm talking about in here, not up here. Hey, faith is not of your head. Faith don't come from here. This is theological. This is where you reason. This is where you make your mind up whether you are going to believe that word or you're going to activate that word. This is where you make the choices. That God give us 100% free will. God will not make me do nothing. He will not make me believe. He will come and he will give me the plate. He sets before me a table in the presence of my enemy, and my cup can run over even though I'm going through hell in the hallway. Hallelujah. I believe the blessing. I believe I'm walking in the blessing. I got that scripture a long time ago. But look, Deuteronomy 28, well, the Lord spoke to me, and I thought the commandments, the Ten Commandments, when I read that, and the Lord spoke to me, and the Lord said, he said, I said there, see, he was talking to them under the old covenant. You understand that? They did have the laws and all the things that they had to do it all. They could not measure up to all the commands of God. And that's why mercy came through Jesus. That's why mercy, that's why an open door came through Jesus to Scotty and knocked that day and said, and didn't say it at all that I know now, but he was saying, come through this door, because this door holds your marriage. This door holds your financial future. This door right here opens the Bible up to you. He didn't say all that, but I realized that later. that when I came to Jesus, when I came into Him, I didn't know a whole lot. I just began to go to church. If that's all you know, just go. I mean fight for it, and I mean fight the good fight of faith for it. It is the will of God. It's in the Bible. Forsake not the assembling of yourself together is the manner. Get that in you and say, I'm going to obey the voice of the Lord my God. And I'm going to do it. And then that's where all the promises of God, the Bible says, are when you walk in Him, you follow Him. Praise God. He said, are yes and amen. Your financial future. God told me, and I was telling the minister that's going to come this Sunday, not this Sunday, but next Sunday. I'm listening to five preachers on a last Sunday night after church. I don't shut Christianity down after church. Right? I just don't do it. I used to have to fight to do that. But it's no fight to me now. I can just flip me on a sermon anytime and just fast in it. You know, my flesh don't even bother me with it anymore. He's like, oh no, he's listening to another one. That's all he says now. It ain't like I have to, oh man, listen to it where you can get built up. I've been there, done that. It's not that way no more. You can train your flesh. Your flesh can be trained. You can train it. You're going to watch this. You're going to listen to this. You're going to fast on, feed on God's word. Hallelujah. But see, the blessing of the Lord, I read it under in faith back there. I read it in there and I said, man, all these blessings will come on you and overtake you. I stayed in that Deuteronomy 28. You can ask Preston next Sunday. I mean, that's all I'd stay in, boy. I'm in there because I could see good in there. I'm like, woo, look at this, man. We'll be blessed going in. Blessed going in, boy. And I released my faith and I begin to confess it. I'm blessed going in, blessed going out, blessed in the city, blessed in the field. And people would tell me, why you got to say it? I said, I don't know, but it feels good. It feels good to say that. You know why? It's bearing witness in your spirit. It's bearing witness in your spirit. Your spirit, you're feeding your spirit by your voice. Your voice is not God's. Your voice is your voice. And you are like God, or you're like the enemy in your speaking. See, once we're born of the Spirit of God, we become like God. We're created already in His image and likeness. Then when He puts His Spirit in us, we're just like Him. We look over things and we say, that's not good, and we begin to pronounce and speak to it. And it has to obey us. Because we don't see it right sometimes in an instant, we stop sometimes. When we're supposed to be persistent, fighting the good fight of faith. Well, you go read the blessings that are in Deuteronomy 28. I would advise you do it the rest of the week. Read them that are in there, because I really hadn't got time to go read the 14 chapters that I want to 14 verses in Deuteronomy chapter 21:1 through. But it tells you a lot of stuff in there that he was telling his people at that time. These things right here are going to happen if you obey me. But then he says, these bad things will happen if you don't. We've lived in them, Mac. We're just now experiencing life in Jesus Christ. We lived our whole life up to the time we got born again, and we experienced the curse. I mean, no family, right? Drugs, alcohol, took everything we had, right? The curse of the law of sin and death was working in us. In our marriages, in our finances. It was working in everything, hallelujah. Then we come in here and we come through Jesus into this covenant that God made with His people, and we're grafted in. We're not His chosen people, the Israelites. Right? And the Bible says He went to His own and they rejected Him. Well, He come to us, Johnny, and we didn't reject Him. We said we accept Jesus. Glory to God, we want you, Lord. We want your life. We're not just to escape. I was not scared of hell, although I didn't have a reality that it's real. But you know what I did want? I did want a good life. And I had tried it and didn't find it. Hallelujah. But the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich It adds no sorrow, no toil, no hardship. The blessing is on your life. And like Mac, he said it perfectly. I said it to Teresa today. I was on the back porch. But Mac said, I just don't hardly have any more hardship in my life. Ha ha! There it is, Mac, right there. It's through Jesus. You give your heart to Jesus Christ, and you come into the house of God, and you hear His fellow servants talk, and me preach, and other people preach, and you gain a nugget here and a nugget there. That's the Word becoming a lamp to our feet and a light to our path, showing us that what's real and what's not in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we experience it. The Lord told me today, He said, see, He said, you're serving me, you're walking with me. And He said, and things are just getting better and better for you. They're getting better. He said, they've been getting better the whole time you've been serving me. And I thought, yeah, glory to God, hallelujah. I had just recently, I hadn't told Teresa till today, had my ankles and all of that by lunch, they were hurting. And I had this thought, it's because you're getting old. I thought, man, is this what it feels like to get old? I don't know. I don't believe I'm old yet. Well, anyhow, I didn't say nothing. And so I'd lay my hands on my feet, and I would say, no, you don't. In the name of Jesus, you're not going to convince me this is the way it is, because the Bible says, here's where you got to lay hold of it. The Bible says, by His stripes I'm in covenant with God, and I command you to leave my feet. I will not have arthritis in no part of my body. I command you to leave my feet and loose me. Well, I walked out today and I hadn't really noticed it, because I'm an active guy anyways. But I walked out and I'm going out to get into my truck, and all of a sudden I noticed my feet wasn't even hurting. I thought, wow. And it's dinner time and I'm fixing to leave out of here, praise God. And the Lord said, you walked it out. See, the blessing of the Lord is your financial future, your marriage, your body. You shouldn't be crippled at 65 years old, 80 years old. Caleb was 80. And he said, Lord, give me that mountain. Well, if I got an example before me, bless God, that Moses' eyes didn't get dim, didn't lose his eyesight, right? I've got all these. They walking with God. They walked in prosperity. Abraham, the blessing of Abraham. Put the Galatians up there, Beth. I want to read you this. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, that's me and you, right, are the same are the children of Abraham. And the Scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, that's me and you. Oh, I've been justified. Whoo! Put my faith in Jesus Christ and you became the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You gave your life to Jesus, and to them that receive Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. We are the sons of God and daughters of God. Hallelujah. He says of Abraham, and the Scripture foreseeing he would justify the heathen through faith, preach the gospel unto Abraham, saying, In thee shall all the nations be blessed. So they that be of faith are what? Well, then why do we complain? Right? What we're doing, we're saying, no, we're not. Why? Because we ain't got it. That's right. But we got to agree. To have it here, we got to agree here. Right here. When you ain't got no money, when you feel like you ain't close to God, when you feel like things ain't working, when you start believing God and things look worse, you keep it. That is what He's talking about. The just shall live by faith because of their faith. Not, see, a lot of times people think faith, they don't even know really what they're saying. I just live by faith. What does that mean? That means when I ain't got no money and enough to pay my bills, and I lay it down before the Lord, and I say, Lord, you said you would supply all of my needs. And then you speak to them bills, and you tell them, line up in the name of Jesus. Jesus didn't have to save up for 3 months to get a donkey to ride in Jerusalem. Right? The Lord pointed it out to me, for me, back yonder. He said he didn't get a used one. And I think Teresa got a hold of it because she wasn't getting another used trailer. She wanted a new one. And I thought, well, you know, she ain't got a job. It'd be easy for me to believe for one too. I'm going to have to make the payments here. I mean, the natural. But she's got a hold of faith. She's like, if God can give us a used one, He can give us a new one. And so I thought, well, she's probably right. And I thought, well, okay. So I got an agreement with God because she was believing God. So I got an agreement with God and I told him, I said, okay, glory to God. I thought this is the best way I can reason this out. You know, because I was expecting to get it, live in it for a while and probably lose it the way I'd always done. Because I'm only 28 and I haven't been saved very long. I hadn't found that scripture in there yet where Jesus told them, no man leaves father and mother, lands, brothers, and in other words, I didn't know if I put all my family, all my friends, I didn't have no kids. I've had to put God before my kid, before my son. I've had to do it. I don't know if you will or not, but I imagine you will sooner or later. I told my grandkids this afternoon, I told them, I said, well, they came to spend the night with us last night, and I busted through the back door, and I said, hey, guys, I said, y'all want Papa to read the Bible? Oh, no. No. So I thought, well, reading the Bible ain't. So I went in there, I said, hey, did y'all know about this? There was a woman in there, in that Bible, that she was sick for a long time. They both began to look at me. Sick for a long time. I said, she went to the doctor, and the doctors couldn't fix her. I said, I don't know if she was in pain or not, but might have been, the Bible don't say. I said, but you know what happened? And Aubrey, she's like, what? Well, what am I doing? I'm telling her about the blessing. She's going to look to that blessing of the Lord one day. And I told her, I said, and she just went out. I said, and she touched Jesus. I said, and she was healed. Woo, hallelujah. See, we touch Him by faith. We ain't got to have it. He's here. He's in us. Hallelujah. He's in us. Praise God. But it says here, preach before them the gospel unto Abraham. I thought, because preachers always says the gospel was Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But I found out it's not. I found out the gospel was preached to Abraham. The gospel simply means good news. The good news came to me that I didn't have to get a divorce. The good news came to me that I didn't have to stay broke. The good news came to me that I could empty out my medicine cabinet because I was expecting to get sick every season. And I went and emptied it out. See, I was in faith. I did it because I believed that I needed to get rid of that because that was where my faith was at. It was in that, and every year it was going to happen to me because my faith was there. It had been happening to me, so that had trained me to go ahead and get ready. But I went in there and emptied it out one day, and I didn't get any more, and I said, I'm getting rid of that. Well, you know what? My glands ain't been swelled up in 20-something years. Lucky God, it happened to me when spring would come, when fall would come. I dreaded them just on account of that. Hallelujah. But you know what? I don't even have that issue anymore. I don't have an issue with my feet anymore. That is modern healing. If you want to get it in there modern, I put it on Facebook, I put it on there, I said, I got some good news today. I said, I didn't get it from a news channel. They're a bunch of liars. I didn't get it. I started to put Facebook, and I thought, nah, just put social media. I didn't get this sermon off of Facebook. Social media. I've been before the Lord fasting and praying, hallelujah, on what to preach and what to say, and asking the Lord, Lord, put it in my heart. Where would I speak, Lord? It'll go out into the ears of those that hear. See, the woman over there and over there bedridden in the hot, over in Oneonta, I was simply preaching that word. She wasn't able to come on her own. I don't know if she was in pain or not. She's bedridden. I can lay for 4 or 5 hours, and bless God, I got to get up, man. My body just, I can't take all of that, too much laying around. That's just me, I guess. But you know what? She pressed through her issues. She got them, however she did it, to get them on that street, and that woman got healed. That's in real time, Mac. That happened to me. I saw it with my own eyes. And all I was doing was preaching healing and stuff on, saying, you can't preach nothing different. That Bible don't change. Right? If healing, 1 Peter 2:24 worked in 94 after I, 5 or 6 after I got saved, what makes me think that it did? God ain't changed. None of that has changed. This culture's changed. Our body does change. I admit it. I'm 58. I'm not what I used to be, praise God, but I sure ain't weak. I sure won't give in to weakness and fear and the weakness of this flesh, hallelujah. Because the Bible says in Proverbs 18:14, it says, the strong, spiritually strong man, that means you feed on his word, you feed what the Spirit is telling you, praise the Lord, hallelujah. You listen to preaching, you get built up. Listen, when you're listening to preaching, your flesh is not what's feeding. You might not even feel it or nothing like that. Hallelujah. I learned that. You know, I don't feel nothing. I don't think I got nothing. Then I would get out into something and something going on, and what I'd heard or read or meditated on, then it would come alive to me. I'd be like, that's what that means. Glory to God. It's called revelation. Hallelujah. But it says that we are blessed. So then they which be of faith, are you of faith? Did you get saved under the law or believe in Jesus? Then you're of faith, right? It says here, you are blessed. But I don't feel it. It don't matter. I feel it. I didn't feel it back there either when my marriage was on the rocks for 5 or 6 years after. I didn't feel it either because I'm having to work 10, 12 hours toting sheetrock and got to go to church. I didn't feel it either when my baby, I'm having to buckle him up back there in thunderstorms and all that to go to church, crying halfway up there when the sun gets in his eyes. Right? I didn't feel it either. But I wasn't going to let what I'm going through and what I feel stop me from going on into this Jesus that I've got born again. I didn't let none of that stop me. I didn't let nothing at church stop me from hearing what the preacher was saying, right? I didn't let nothing stop me from worshiping God and letting people thump me on the ear in church, distract me in church. I cut all of that out and I focused on the Lord. The Lord gave Teresa a sermon one time, and some of us know what it is and some of us don't, but my dad was a farmer. We were farmers, and they had mules. And the mules, and especially my uncle, he would grow corn with polio. Had polio. He couldn't walk, you know, or nothing. But he'd hold on to that crib, and he'd have them old straps up there. Well, he'd have a muzzle around that mule, its mouth, where it wouldn't eat the corn up while they're plowing. Well, it had blinders on like this. They come getting their, they couldn't look behind them or nothing. They had to look straight forward. And God give Teresa a message, you know, one time in, or spoke to her or whatever, you know, and told her to put blinders on. He said, put blinders on. In other words, stay focused. Stay focused on me. Don't get your eyes on people and what they think, and let people distract you and everything. Hallelujah. That was him just saying, give me your all. Give me, look at me. Look at what I've done for you. And I'm going to bring you into this. Hallelujah. As far as in the financial realm, I lack nothing today. But God, but you know what? I was 3 months behind. I'm not telling you some stupid bit. This gospel is real. This power of God is real. It's more real than what you feel. Faith is more real than what you see. Hallelujah. Faith goes into your future if you're releasing it. It begins to go into your future and pay your house off and pay your car off and bring your house in and bring what you need in. It begins to bring your supply in. Hallelujah. But you've got to walk by faith until you see it. What have I got? Oh, give me that Galatians. We got to get that one. Travis sang too long. And Mac preached 7 minutes. Good preaching, man. That was some good preaching. Galatians 3. Oh, that is. Yeah, that's it. For as many are the works of the law are under the curse. For it is. That's why you don't do it out of rules and regulations. You come here because your faith is after God. You focus because your faith is in Him and you want Him and you want to know Him. You want to leave here healed if you come sick. See, we went through an era of time with COVID and all of that that taught the church, if you're sick, stay home. But I was raised up in a time to bring them to the church. But I got it out of the Bible where they couldn't get them down there where Jesus was at, so they tore the roof off and went down in them. So I've always believed if you can get them under the power of the preached Word of God, the anointing destroys those yokes. That's right. I'm believing for a time when somebody told me one time, they said, well, we've got a wheelchair. We don't want to disrupt. I said, you ain't going to disrupt that church. I said it won't be long. More than likely, we'll hang your wheelchair on the wall for a memorial. We'll decorate this church with that stuff, the 12 pillars. You let somebody get out of a wheelchair, we're gonna drill a hole and put it up there. Somebody comes in, what's that? That's a wheelchair that nobody has to sit in anymore. That person came into this service and the power of the Holy Spirit moved and brought that. They don't need it no more, so we hung it on the wall. We'll hang them up. We'll do that. He says, for as many as the works are under the curse. Go read what the curse is. That's why you want to stay in faith. You don't want that operating. Right? You don't want that. That's why you ain't got time to get in unbelief and fear and all of that stuff. You don't want the curse working because the faith of God, faith and confidence is what keeps it working. It keeps it moving in our life. Hallelujah. He says, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all the things that are written in the book of the law to do them, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident, for the just shall live by faith. The law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Go ahead, Beth. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. I asked Teresa, I mean, that's the way she does me. She come in and I just busted a question on her. What? I said, what did I say? Anyways, what does the law demand? Justice. Right? It does in the natural. The law here required justice. The law brought judgment. Right? It brought judgment. And that's why Jesus come. And the Bible says in John 1 over there, it says that the law was given by Moses, but mercy and truth came through Jesus. He was the penalty of the curse. In other words, He took the curse on Himself. He took my sin, your sin, on Himself. He took my poverty on Himself. He took my oppression on Himself. He took my identity on Himself. That's why you ain't going to fit in with the clique If you are born again, you're going to fit in identifying with Jesus Christ. You're going to fit in identifying with Him. And the ones that identify with Him, you will have like faith. You will be like spirit. Right? He says, He redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for it, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree. Jesus wasn't cursed, but He took it on Him. He took it on Him that me and you don't have to have the penalty of the law, the curse of the law, that the blessing of Abraham can come on us, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles, that's me and you, through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit of faith. And we got it. Paul says, as we believe, therefore we speak. So I believe that you're victorious, and I speak it over you. You might not, there's been times when a lot of you didn't look very victorious to me, and I didn't let that change my confession over you. Why? As therefore I believe, therefore I confess. And if I believe it and confess it, well then that's faith released into the atmosphere out here in this realm that you can't see, which has demonic spirits. Right? There's principalities and powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. See, that's why when you're going about and you have thoughts that are contrary to the Word of God and it feels like it's you, it feels like that's the way it is, you better realize who's bringing that to you. And you better resist that and bring that out and say, nope, no weapons formed against me will prosper. I cast those thoughts out in the name of Jesus. Cast them down. The Scripture tells you that. Promises of God, the blessing of the Lord, Jesus came and spiritually, physically, and financially set me and you free. See, when you got born again, you were free from everything that you walk in that you don't want. Right? Fear, oppression, dictates of the flesh, all of that was subdued by Jesus Christ. Has to be walked out by faith with us. We have to walk it out through our faith and through our confession. He redeemed us from poverty and lack. He redeemed us from oppression and depression. I don't care why it stays, why it's there. It can be there through lost loved ones, right? I mean, Teresa got, she's told you the story, got mad at God because she asked the Lord for Judah, and Judah came, and he died. And I mean, she got terribly upset with God, you know, to the point to where, you know, I mean, it was trying to destroy her life, and he became her therapist. He took all that she just went through with our son Judah that we will see one day, And he took all of that pain she was in. He took all of that sorrow. He received him to him. Right? And then she goes through, and I'm thinking to myself, oh my God, she's mad at God. This is terrible. And there was no need in me saying, you can't be mad at God. She would have got mad at me and God. Right? So I just pray, you know, and all of that, God, you know, I didn't just go along with it and say, well, Satan, you've whipped me as a husband. Well, Satan, you've done it this time. I didn't do that, Mac. I just lifted her up to the Lord, and I told the Lord, no weapons, Isaiah 54 and 17, no weapons formed against us will prosper. And then before you know it, she came out and taught y'all some mighty great things through the revelation that she had that when she come out of that hardship. That's you. That's me. He redeemed us from poverty and lack. He redeemed us from oppression and depression. He redeemed us from fear. He redeemed us from death and defeat. He redeemed us from sickness and weakness. He redeemed you from weakness. The Bible says, let the weak confess it. Yeah, but everybody, I'm so tired. I had to work and I'm tired and blah, blah, blah. And I guarantee you, if I'm weak physically, I can go hang out with Mac for a couple of days, just show up at his house and go hike, and I'll have more energy. I believe that. Do you or not? You have more energy. You get things that are created just in that manner. How much more with our confession? Let the weak say that they are strong. But God, if I've confessed that once, I've confessed it a million times over my walk with the Lord. When I feel weak and wore out and can't go on and can't come preach and can't go help nobody because I'm tired and my life is stressful and all of that, I've leaned on that and leaned on that promise that I'm strong in you in the power of your might, God, and come out of my mouth and say, who's weak like Paul? Not me. Hallelujah. I had to do it through open heart surgery. I had to do it when I was in physically recovery. But I believe my confession and my faith caused me to recover speedily. We renew our minds to God's Word. Why? Why do you renew your mind to God? Why do you rehearse God's Word? Why do you meditate on God's Word? I can tell you why. Where you have the faith to fight in the adversity that comes your way. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I've took medicine. I take medicine now. I take some medicine now. But I say it when I take my medicine. Thank you, Lord, that you're using this natural thing until the supernatural totally kicks in. Amen. I let taking that be a reminder. When I take ibuprofen or something like that, hallelujah, I come out of my mouth and I speak to the thing that I'm taking it for. Because modern medicine is good and God give them wisdom and all of that. But I'm telling you, healing, walking in divine health is better. It's been a long time since I've seen all y'all with a snotty nose. See, Satan don't want me to say stuff like that. I ain't seen none of y'all out of here in a long time being sick. Why? You're walking in divine health. You should have been sick. You should have caught the flu. You should have. And you walk around among people, people of faith, with your confession out there, and it drives out fear. It drives out that fear, so everybody's getting sick but you. Them grandkids used to get sick, and I prayed over them, and I'm sure that they do. And I would say when I'd pray, well, I thank you, Lord, that they will not get sick in school. They will not catch nothing that everybody's got in school, Lord. I mean, last year it was every time they went to school, seemed like to me, they got sick. Snotty nose every time they come in, something. I got plumb tired of that. I'm like, God, man, just get them out of school. Let them quit. But then my confession got over them, and bless God, pronouncing the blessing on them. Travis told me the other day, he says, man, we don't have to work a lot, Dad, and spend time with them. I said, I bleed. I laid my hands on you at 5 or 6 years old, and I blessed you. I said, I expected you to not have to put in the long hours and the building the business that I had to. I told him, I said, I expected you to walk in what you're walking in. I believed for it. And God has answered me. No, we don't have to put in 80 hours a week to make a good living, 45. Don't get jealous, believe. But I told him, I said, God answered me in what I laid my hands on you and believed. Oh, he had the temptations come. Everybody, you're going to take the business over. Why don't you just start your own business? And he walked in integrity. He walked in honor towards his dad. He won't even take a side job. He tells them, why don't do stuff on the side? Call blunt overhead door and do it. He walked in integrity. He earned through the Lord, through his faith and honor, he earned blessing and increase from the Lord. When the Lord told me to give him part of the business at the time that I couldn't afford to do it, you know, he didn't expect it. He wasn't looking for it. The Lord told me, and then he started making nearly as much money as me, and I thought, oh, man, this is not good. I worked a long time, and he's making, and the Lord told me, he said, didn't you believe for, don't you believe the scripture in there that you confessed over him that I'll bless you more and more, even your children? That I would bless your children? I said, oh, yes, Lord. Just let him pass me up. Look, God, he paid me back some money he owes me. I raised him. I've got $2 or $3 million in him. Right? Hallelujah. But what I'm saying is, I believe that he would increase me more and more. Even my children. You ought to be saying that over your kids. You ought to be saying, Lord, you're increasing me more and more. Even my children. Let them outrun me, God. Let them outrun me in you, God. Let them outrun me. And then the kids, you know, they might just play, be playing around with it, raised in church. Travis did it. Coming to church, ain't listening to the sermons, and I know they had a lot of head knowledge, but didn't have a walk with Jesus. He was not walking with Jesus. Then I watched him when he began to get in there and his heart began to get real with the Lord. His heart began to go after God. I seen revelation and revelation of what he knew up here start happening in his heart. Then is when faith comes. Then it's when faith started working. He told me one day, he said, I don't know what's wrong. I knew all of this all of my life. And I let him go on talking over there. And I waited until he got done. And I said, I didn't tell you what. I said, I didn't tell you what the problem was. You was not willing to be obedient. And you wasn't eating the good of the land. See, the Bible says in Isaiah 1:19, and when we're in faith, it's easier to obey God. That's why we keep ourselves in a right spirit, you know. But so we renew our mind to the Word of God. I can start and quote you scriptures a lot. That's not a bravo. That's wisdom. Then using it is a little different ball game. But once I begin to use it with your confession. That's how you release the Word of God. Give me that Proverbs and I'm gonna close with this. If you're living in light, fight. Confess. A man's belly, that word belly means being, your life. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruits of his mouth. Or is it coming out of your mouth how weak and sick you are? How sick and tired you are of your job that God give you? Or is it coming out of your mouth, praise you, God, that I have a good job? Thank you, Lord. I've had to done it a million times, you know, myself, you know, because of the pressures of work and no month, different things, you know, and come out of my mouth and begin to praise God and say, thank you, Lord. Why? Because I realize that my life is going to be filled by what I say. A man's life shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. This word don't lie. If I believe that I'm blessed, then don't look at the natural and say, I ain't got no garage doors or nothing. You don't even look at that. You just say, the Word says I'm blessed, blessed God, and I am. And you let it come out of your mouth. You don't let it come out of your mouth, we can't afford this, we can't afford that. I know that it sounds stupid to somebody, maybe, what I'm saying, but it's spiritual. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit of it. That means you're going to have it, especially being a born-again believer, that we're speaking spirits, hallelujah. So if you're living in lack, fight the good fight of faith. You find God's promises in there and lay them out, put them on your refrigerator. Lay your hands on your house. I did it for about 4, 5, 6 years. And believed God for the payments to come in that I wouldn't lose my house. And I believed God, but I laid my hands on the corner of my house that was parked by my truck for several years and told it, you belong to me and not me and Wells Fargo Bank. Thank you, Lord. And then I would lift my voice to God and I would say, thank you, God. This is my house that you give me, God, and I own it. And I would lay my hands on my trucks and different things that I had and all of that. And then I would confess, Lord, there will come a time when I'm living in that more than enough life like your word tells me that Jesus died for. He said that he would that I have life and more abundant to the full till it overflows, nothing missing, no payments, no sickness, no disease. Right? He told them over there, he said, if you follow me, he said, I will drive sickness far from you. Hallelujah. Well, I can't do it for everybody, but I refuse to surrender to it. I refuse to surrender to COVID or flu or my glands. I refuse to surrender to arthritis and all of that. I will not surrender. I seen Teresa come on there and talking about menopause and having heat flashes and cold flashes and all of that. You know, and you get up there in whatever years it is. And you know, and I heard her when it said on TV, she'd get up and she'd say, not me, bless God. I'm redeemed from that. I am redeemed from menopause. I'm redeemed from that. And she had maybe about two or three heat flashes. And we've been in the church before and half the women in here in a wrong spirit back there. Good God. It's hot in here. Turn it down to 69. It's cold in here. It was hot last week, cold this week. Well, I told her, she said that the other day, and all of y'all young women, get on it now. Don't you believe you got to go through nothing this world says you got to go through. I don't care what the scientists say. I do, but I don't. In light of God's word, that's garbage in my ears. So she said it out of her mouth, thank you, Lord, I've been redeemed from menopause. I've been redeemed, and she'd hear it from people. Well, you're going to go through it. She'd say, I'm redeemed from that. I will not have. She had maybe three hot flashes her whole life. Menopause had to bypass her. Right? Now, that seems like not a very big issue, but if I ever experienced it, I'm sure it would be worth fighting for. Right? So y'all young ladies, go ahead and take it now. That's of the world. I've been redeemed. That's in Deuteronomy 28. That's under the curse. Hallelujah. And I'm redeemed from it. Hallelujah. You need to have it coming out of your mouth all the time. I'm blessed. I'm healed. Hallelujah. I'm victorious. I'm strong. Hallelujah. I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. And then praise Him. Praise Him for it. Let your words line up with God's word. You're getting in agreement with God. Hallelujah. If you're depressed and oppressed, fight. Call somebody, send somebody a message, you know. And I told them, because kind of a burden, kind of trying to burden the church a little bit, people not coming to church, faithful, you know, and tries to bother you. How many of you in here don't bother you when people hear faithful and then they just ain't coming? How many does it bother? Yeah. Hey, some of us, yeah, it does bother you when that don't happen. It don't bother y'all? And so I sent them a message. And I said, have you quit? Have you just left us and quit? I said, because they some of the body, I didn't include all of y'all. I said, they some of the body, it bothers. You know, they concerned. They care about you. Then you just ain't here. I said, if you have just quit, just let me know right now. I said, and I will not bother you ever again. Y'all quiet. I'm trying to help them. Hold them accountable a little bit. I held Travis accountable with things at church when he was a little tot. I didn't let him disrupt everybody. I a little bit at a time, you know, got him to where he understood how things work in church. And then he goes to the grandmother's house and all the kids are tearing everything up. And he's sitting over there and he's like, I'm not doing that. And she said, he's one of the best kids ever because we taught him at home in church. Church helped us to teach him there's places you play and there's places you're going to be quiet. And we've had to do it with a great, look at him. are good grandkids. They didn't start out that way. They didn't. They had to learn just like the other kids, man. And, you know, and they had to learn that church is church and church is where you're going to honor God. And you know what? That's kind of like when they set up the 12 pillars out there and he said, see, we got to teach them this so they walk in the blessing of the Lord. So that their lives are just not, it don't matter about God, shalom, shalom. Man, I'm telling you, that's not good for a young generation. If you're weak spiritually, then do something about it. Get you some books out of here. I mean, beef your hearing of the Word of God. Beef your confession up. There's no reason for you to be dry spiritually and down and out in here. And it'll cause, see, the way you are inside is going to affect your natural man. If you're not feeding yourself spiritually in here, you're going to be down and drained and all of that unless you are actively doing something. Hallelujah. So I want to encourage you, the blessing belongs to you. And you know, you can come to the place to where, bless God, you believe your house in. Me and Teresa, if we build one, we're looking on the inside, you know, and she's told me for years, this is not our permanent home. And I'm like, oh my God, no. I'm tired of moving. Man, we would have to have a big moving van now. I mean, when we moved out of the trailer, it took me 3 days, you know, shop and trailer and stuff. And now, man, it'd be terrible. I'd have to get me and Johnny take us 3 days to drive everything where over the under, just to drive everything, you know. And so, but anyhow, my point in that is like, we're like, I'd like, well, if God wants us to build one, we're doing this in debt-free. We're not borrowing anything from the bank, but God, we're going to find it on the inside. If God wants us to have another house, praise God, and we're going to believe God, and we're going to build that thing debt-free. And we're going to build it like we want to. We're going to build it just exactly like we like it. See, we're finding out now, import it, if God. Right? Because what He says for us, then that, because we're in the moment and we might think we want something else, but really when we get down there on the inside and let God, we get to go a little bit further and we're like, I'm glad I didn't do that. I'm glad I didn't do that. That would have not been good. Get in the Word fast. I know that sounds like an ugly word, but it's really not. Fast. Set a couple of meals. Set a day. You work it where you can go a day and a half. Skip two meals. Go 2 days and eat, skip two meals. Do, you know, God will honor what you do. Fast and pray and seek the Lord and confess, hallelujah. Confess the Word. Psalmist said the Word is, God's Word was a lamp to His feet and a light to His path. And it really is. Let's bow our heads. Father, we praise You. And we just thank You for the blessing, Father.